The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry from Remnant. Let's be honest, this life can be hectic, draining, and downright confusing. My hope is that by listening to this message, your life can be impacted by God's great love for you, and His love will give you wisdom, courage, and strength. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Godsey.
Jesus was not who the Israelites wanted. When they were looking for a Savior, some kid born in a manger was not who they were looking for. They were looking for a mighty conquering hero. And it's a lot like us. We get gifts that we don't really want. You ever get like socks and underwear for Christmas? Like, why? Why did you do that? Why, don't you love me? So we're going to talk about that. And today I want to talk about the biggest gift. The biggest gift. Here's all the social media stuff for today. Hashtag the biggest gift. Hashtag ugly Christmas. That's great. And then at Jerry Godsey, at Remnant Church. Please, please use your social media for the message. Let's pray. God, thanks for the greatest gift ever given, God. Father, I pray that you will make us aware of you today. Please, Father, help us. Bless us now. We ask it in your name. Amen. 10-year-old girl named Jenny was walking with her parents, and they were looking at all the Christmas lights, and they stopped at a church, and they saw the nativity scene, and her grandma said to her, "Isn't that beautiful? Look, Jenny, look at all the animals, Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus," and Jenny said, "Grandma, it's really nice, but there's a thing that bothers me about this. Why hasn't Jesus grown up? He's the same size he was last year." Jenny is very observant. Of course, Jesus did grow up. And his life and death and resurrection are the reason that we have church. They're the reason we celebrate. The reason we celebrate Easter. The reason we celebrate Christmas. But there are a lot of misunderstandings about Christmas. And look, we can get into the weeds if we want to and talk about how, well, it really grows from a Christian, from a pagan holiday. You know what? Shut up. Who cares? Who cares? We're celebrating Jesus. Okay? I know there were some roots back there that we could talk about, and they can try and discredit all they want to. You know what? I don't care about any of that. Because when on Christmas Day, and through this series, we're going to celebrate Jesus. I don't care how it started. I just know I'm going to celebrate Jesus. That's all that matters to me. If you ask people what Christmas means to them, they'll say, well, it's a time to get together with your family. Christmas and Thanksgiving are two times you get together with your family through the year. Make you realize why you don't do it a third time? Sad but true. We got to watch football. And then we get presents. And presents, I mean, if you're a kid, presents are the best part. My wife has been gone all weekend. She went and had early Christmas with her family up in Riverside County. And when she gets back, she doesn't know this yet, when she gets back, her gifts are wrapped under our tree. I wrapped them myself. And like I put in my column yesterday, they look like a 3-year-old wrapped them. You know, all these years on this planet, I still can't wrap a present right. They're like all puffy on the ends, and my wife does them, and they're perfect, and they're all straight. Look, you want to open it or not? You're lucky you didn't just get it in the box it came from Amazon. Stick a bow on it, call it good. But Christmas isn't about any of that. Christmas is about worship. We don't think about that sometimes, but Christmas is about worship. I'm going to talk about this morning about why we give gifts. Have you thought about gift giving as a way of worship? Because when the three wise men showed up with the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, that was worship. They were there to worship a newborn king. But giving a gift at Christmas started because God gave his only son. Remember looking under the tree when you were a kid? And you're looking at all the gifts. And now mom, would get these little gifts, little boxes. And we're like, that's going to be cheesy. It could be like a Cartier watch or something in there for all we knew, but it was cheesy because it was small. And I remember looking under the tree one year, and I had the biggest box of all. I'm like, they love me so much. They don't love my brothers as much because their box isn't as big. My gift is bigger. And I would taunt my brothers with it. Hey, did you look under the tree? Who's got the biggest box? Oh, that's right, this guy. Who's got two thumbs that has the biggest present? This guy. Stupid. So what makes a gift good? And by the way, I do remember the biggest box. I don't remember what was in it. So that tells you how earth-shattering a present it was. I don't even remember what was in it. All right, but what makes a good gift? Is it how big it is? Is it how is it wrapped? If it's how it's wrapped, my wife is in trouble because I didn't do a good job wrapping it. So what really makes a gift special? Well, let's talk about that. First of all, who gave the gift? Who gave the gift? That's part of what makes it special, isn't it? John 3:16 says, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." Who gave it? For God loved the world. God loved the world that much. Who gave the first gift? God did. He gave us Jesus. I remember seeing a little story about an ad that was in the Arizona Republic newspaper, and it was placed on behalf of somebody's grandma, and it said, "Lost one pearl ring, lost near 35th Avenue and Cactus, setting his chip for many years where, has one diamond on each side of pearl, great sentimental value, large reward promised." Now, if you tried to hawk that ring, you'd probably get nothing for it. It wasn't really worth anything except the sentimental value. I'm guessing the lady's husband gave it to her or something, and she had it for years, and he's since passed on. And so that ring was a tangible recognition of the fact that he loved her and he gave her something. Remember the Coca-Cola ad from years ago with Mean Joe Green from the Pittsburgh Steelers? And he was. Off the field, they say he's as nice as can be, but on the field, he was mean. He lived up to his name. But he's limping off the field. Somehow he's in the tunnel. I don't know why he's in the tunnel. You know, like he's running through the stands or something. But he's in the tunnel, and this little kid looks at him and says, he's got a Coke. And he says, "Here, Mean Joe, you can have my Coke." And Mean Joe's like, "Nah." He goes, "No, go on, you can have it." So the next thing you know, now if I'm the kid's probably thinking, "Hey, take a drink." No, Mean Joe guzzles the thing, it's all gone. And the kid's, "Okay, see you later," and he's walking away. And then Mean Joe says, "Hey, kid." Kid turns around, and Mean Joe tosses him his jersey. Which, by the way, probably had to be really nasty from sweat and just, but the kid was like, "Oh, thanks, Mean Joe." Why was that special? It's a sweaty, nasty jersey. No, but it's worn by Mean Joe Green. Worn by one of the best guys ever. In the case of the gift that started all, the one that God gave us, the gift itself is actually the most valuable gift ever given. What did he give us? He gave us his Son. So the next thing special, why was it given? Why did they give? Look at John 3:16 again. "For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." For God loved the world so much. Why did he give us his Son? Because he loved us. Trust me, there is nothing in you worth the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords dying for you, other than the fact that God loves you. In English, we have the word love, and that kind of just sums it all up. Oh, I love milkshakes. I love my wife. I love you so much. It's all the same word to us. But Greek, there's actually four words. The first is storge. Storge love is the word we use for things like when we love sunrises or milkshakes. You don't really love milkshakes. But it's all about a natural or instinctual affection. Why do we love sunsets? Because there's just something in us that comes out. One of the greatest things about my job is driving around. I get in the morning and I'm there as the sun's coming up and it's just clearing over the mountains and it's just gorgeous. And at night we have some beautiful sunsets. It's a rough life. Philos or phileo love is the word with brotherly love. The city of Philadelphia means the city of brotherly love. It doesn't live up to that. By the way, the stadium at Philadelphia's Philadelphia's football stadium has its own jail. They have their own jail. When one of the coaches took over, he said we could get booed. Howard Cosell said that in Philadelphia they boo Santa Claus. They actually did at a football game. Santa Claus came out at halftime and they booed him. How do you boo Santa Claus? Eros love has to do with what we call physical love, physical affection. But when God talks about love, he uses the word agape or agapeo. That is a selfless, unconditional, limitless love. Think about it. The love that what says here, for God so loved the world, he loves you limitlessly. He loves you unconditionally. He loves you because he loves you. You didn't do a thing to earn it. And by the way, you can't walk away from it. God just loves you. God's love is a kind of warts and all love. God loves you warts and all. George Truett was a longtime pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas. And he described something that happened years before. There was one day the police contacted Truett with a message that a boy who attended Sunday school at his church had been shot and wounded. He got actually shot by his neighbor friend. Truett showed up at the house, and this is how long ago, the doctors were actually at the house with a house call. But he comes in, and there's the little boy, and the doctors tell Truett when he gets there, the kid's not going to make it. We're doing everything we can, but he's not going to make it. The kid's dad is standing by the body of his young child. The child's still alive, but he's losing his battle. And the dad is drunk, just out of his mind drunk. And he's yelling at the little boy, "You're going to make it! My little man's going to make it!" The little boy looked at him and said, "No, Daddy, I'm not going to get well." And he says, no, you'll get better and I'll become a good man. I'll change my ways. The little boy looked at him and said, "When I'm gone, Dad, I want you to remember that I loved you even if you did get drunk." The dad lost it, ran out the back of the house. Truett went around, found the kid, found the dad, and the dad's sobbing. His heart's broken. And the dad said to Truett, "Sir, after my child loves me like that, ought I not straighten up and be the right kind of man?" It's a natural response. Your kid says, I love you even if you did get drunk, Dad. Well, no, I need to get better. Truett looked at him and said, "I have a story 10 times sweeter than that to tell you. God's only begotten Son loved you well enough to come down from heaven and die for you. He was just, and he died for the unjust, so that he can bring you to God." And right then and there, with his son dying in the next room, inside the house, he gave his heart to Christ. And it wasn't one of those flash-in-the-pan kind of things, "Yeah, I'll make a bargain with God, God will save my kid." It was totally, totally outside of that. And the man did change his ways. He would come to church, and he was a regular prayer meeting. He would stand during worship with tears streaming down his cheeks, and he would give his testimony to parents and tell them how God had changed his life. What changed his life? The little boy said, "Daddy, I love you even if you do get drunk." Love won the day when everything else failed. Nothing else could have gotten that guy pried away from a bottle, but the love of his son did. Giving is the natural response of love. Because God so loves us, he gave. Next question is how it was wrapped. Most Christmas gifts are wrapped so you can't readily tell what's inside until you open the package. Have you seen that weird commercial, the Kentucky Fried Chicken commercial, where the family's all around the Christmas and this kid has looks like a bicycle wrapped up? And he opens it up and it's a $5 chicken meal from Kentucky Fried Chicken. The girl's got a dog. It looks like a dog wrapped up. And when she opens it, it's another $5 meal. And they're all excited. No, dude, where's the bike? I'm not eating dog, am I? I don't know. But they wrap it so you can't see inside it. My wife doesn't know this. Okay, and she's not listening, so I can tell you this. One of her Christmas gifts, I actually went on Amazon and I bought her all these seasons of this mystery that she likes on television. So I bought her all of these things. But how do you wrap that? So I printed out a piece of paper and I rolled it all up and I stuck it in a little tiny box and I stuck that little tiny box inside a bigger box. Always thinking. Yeah, usually gets me in trouble. This one I think will be okay. And if you're listening, honey, don't unwrap it. When I was youth pastor at Central Assembly, you ever go to one of those, white elephant gift things? They have a name for it too, where you give the gift, and then you get a chance to go steal somebody's gift, and you can get a better gift than the one you got. I got stuck with this stupid porcelain frog. And it was in a big box. And I kept trying everything I could to get rid of this stupid frog. Hey, you need a frog. I went home with that stupid frog. Nobody wanted my frog. But I kept it. The next year, I wrapped it up. And somebody else got stuck with the stupid frog. The year after that, I got the frog back. I'm pretty sure somewhere I still have that stupid porcelain frog. But it was wrapped up in a way that I couldn't see what it was. It was, oh, this doesn't look like a porcelain frog. It was a porcelain frog. Jesus wasn't wrapped the way they thought he was going to be. First of all, he was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Swaddling clothes. Honest to goodness, our first kid, I went to the store looking for swaddling clothes. I figured there's like a swaddling clothes section. No, it just meant like strips of cloth. Who knew? I thought they were like an outfit, like a swaddling outfit. No, it's just swaddling clothes. Luke 2:12 says, you will recognize him by the sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger. Now, if I had read it that way, I would have known. But no, I read the King James says he'll be wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. The people who were expecting Messiah didn't think about a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. They were looking for a grown-up king in royal robes and majesty. What'd they get? They got a baby. You know, baby? Wah, wah, baby? They weren't expecting him to be born to some peasant lady and a stepdad, because really, that's what Joseph was, a stepdad who's a carpenter. No, they were looking for a king and a queen. Not who they got. Instead, they did find him surrounded by angels and a bunch of shepherds. Second, he came wrapped in a man suit. He was clothed in humanity. Now, I'm on this tear about this one song we sing, and little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Really? Do you think the baby Jesus didn't cry? You got a baby that's not crying? There's something wrong. If our kids would go more than, I don't know, 30 seconds without crying, we knew. We'd roll over in the middle of the night. It's your turn. So can you picture Mary rolling over? Jesus starts crying in the manger. Mary says to Joseph, hey, it's your turn. Well, what am I going to do? Please, please think of Jesus as a baby. I offended a person one time because I said that Jesus had a dirty diaper. Well, you're talking about the Lord of Lords having a dirty diaper. He was a baby. I don't know if you're aware of this, but they don't come out potty trained. I like what Ronald Reagan said. He said the United States, he said, governments are like babies. They have a voracious appetite at one end and no sense of responsibility at the other. That's the way babies are. They're hungry, and then when they're done, there you go. Look at Philippians 2:7. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. Human. Human form. God in human form. His four-year-old son's going to, four-year-old kid's going to bed, and his dad's tucking him in. Finishes prayers. He read the bedtime stories. He's done all the bedtime stuff. He's got a glass of water. He's ready to go to sleep. And he tells his dad, "Dad, don't leave me. I'm scared and I don't want to stay here alone." Dad says, "No, don't worry about it. We prayed. And remember, God's going to be with you. You're going to be fine." And the kid looked at his dad and said, "Okay, I know God's spirit is here, Dad, but I need somebody with skin on." You ever feel like that? Okay, that's great. But I really want to see somebody with skin right now. But that's who Jesus is. He's God with skin on. And that's who came for us. Jesus came and he dwelt among us. He lived just like we do. He lived the life of a person, just like we do. And don't get that twisted. Because if Jesus had any advantages we don't have, then his death on the cross doesn't mean anything. Jesus was just like us. He's God in a man suit. God with skin on. Maybe what makes a gift good is how much it cost. Look at John 3:16 again. God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. His one and only son. Now, I love you guys. I have two boys. I've got two grandkids. But I wouldn't sacrifice any of them for you guys. I love you. But I'm not giving up my kids. Maybe my kids, but not my grandkids. My kids, you know, they're old. They've had a life, you know. But the grandkids, no. Absolutely, definitely not the grandkids. Philippians 2:8 says he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Romans 5:8, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. God spared no expense to save your life. And again, that is not the gift that the Jews were looking for. And it's not the gift that most people are looking for today. Think about it. If you ask somebody, what would it take to make you follow Christ? They'll have a million excuses. But the fact that Jesus died for them wouldn't be top on their list. God's given us the most precious gift he could possibly give. He gave us the gift that cost him the most of any gift he could have given. He gave his son. He gave us the gift more valuable to him than anything. He gave us something that is one of a kind. He gave him his one and only son. And he didn't give us his son just to look at. I bought Soren, my grandson, I bought him a car. It was a collector Hot Wheel, and I gave it to him, and he immediately opened it up. Well, that's not what you do with collector Hot Wheels. You put them on a shelf, and you look at them. He opened it up, and he played with it, and I took a deep breath and said, "Yeah, buddy, that's cool." Why do we have towels in my bathroom that I'm not allowed to use? Right? Look at that. That's a towel. I have wet hands. Because I can't use that towel because I will incur the wrath of Lynette. And I'm scared of her. We used to have soaps. Thank God we don't have those anymore. Little soaps that you can, they look like seashells or roses. Who wants a soap shaped like a rose? Anyway, they'd be on a little special dish there. And when we first got married, I used one. It was a long time ago, and I'm just now getting the feeling back in this arm. You ever have somebody give you a gift that you can't do anything with? Hey, that's great. I'm going to put it right over here and look at it. God didn't have to give his son to us. But he didn't give us his son just to look at. He gave us his son to worship, to live for. He gave us his son so that his son could die for us and give us eternal life. If you judge the greatness of a gift by its cost, then the gift that started it all is the greatest gift ever. What about how useful it is? Go back to John 3:16. God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. How useful is that? Eternal life. 1 John 4:10 says, this is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. I've done some research. Now, you know, I used to run a crime scene unit. I've done some research, and I found out that the death rate in Imperial County is 100%. Don't know if you're aware of that. But everybody in Imperial County will die at some point. I know it comes as a shock. I'll let that sink in for a minute. And believe it or not, it's the same in every other county in the United States and in every other country. The mortality rate is 100%. I know, it's shocking. No. But God has given us the gift of eternal life. That this world is not all there is. Thank God. Remember, did you ever do the hokey pokey when you were a kid? Put your right foot in. You do it, spin around. You do the hokey. That's what it's all about. Can you imagine if this is really what it's all about? Dear Lord. You talk about, I mean, these people that say, oh, I just believe that when you die, you go on a grave. Really? No. If you believe that, how hopeless is your life? I know that when I die, heaven is my reward. And not because I'm special, but because I've accepted Christ. And if you've accepted Christ, guess what? You got more going on after this too. And if you don't accept Christ, you still got more going on after this life. It's just not anywhere near as nice. You know, the Bible says that there's, you know, heaven and hell. And we want to believe in heaven, don't we? Oh, yes. Yes, Pastor Jerry, please tell us about heaven. Hallelujah. We don't want to talk about hell. But you can't believe in heaven, not believe in hell. The Bible says that hell is a horrible place. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth. People cry out for death, but it won't come. They're in constant torment. Sounds like a Justin Bieber concert. No, I don't know. That's not in my notes. That just came out. God's given us eternal life because of God's gift that he gave at Christmas. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 John 5:11-12. And this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life. And this life is in his son. Whoever has the son has this life. Whoever does not have the son does not have this life. In Monopoly, there's the cool get out of jail free card. I used to laugh that in my wallet, I had a get out of jail free card. It was my sheriff's office ID. And when you retire, they take away your ID. So I don't have my get out of jail free card anymore. God's given us a get-out-of-jail-free card, too. Maybe we should call it a get-out-of-hell-free card because he gave us his son, Jesus. John 10:10 says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. The truth is that even if there wasn't a heaven, and we know there is, but even if there wasn't a heaven, the rich and satisfying life that God gives is worth everything. So if you judge the greatness of a gift by its usefulness, the gift that started it all is the greatest gift ever. Maybe judge a gift by how effective it is. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. Paul talked about in Philippians, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through the faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. Understand that. You can't help 20 little ladies across the street to erase one of your sins. I've heard people say that somehow they felt like at the end of their life, God's going to look at their life and say, well, he did more good than he did bad, so he gets to go to heaven. No, that's not the way it works. Jesus judges you by one thing. Did you accept my son and live for him? If so, come on in. If not, the down elevator's over there. Understand, we think that somehow God's got this sense of justice, and he does. But it only asks one question. The scale only weighs one thing. Did you follow Christ? Don't get it twisted, folks. Don't think that somehow, well, I showed up at church, so, you know, I'm good. Me and God are like that. Not necessarily. I've told you before, going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Going to McDonald's doesn't make you a Big Mac. Oh, but Jerry, I come to church and I sing all the songs and you know, I have a cross made out of railroad spikes that I wear and a 25-pound family Bible that I lug around. And God says, no. I go to McDonald's. I sprinkle sesame seeds on my head and cover my body with secret sauce. I'm a Big Mac. No, you're just really, really weird. And nobody's going to give you a ride home. Being in this building doesn't make you a Christian. The way you live it, the way you live what you hear here, that's what makes you a Christian. The fact that you accepted Christ as your Savior, that's what makes you a Christian. The fact that it changes your life, that's all part of what it means to be a Christian. Please, do not think that just sitting on these uncomfortable chairs is enough. Because it ain't. If I get a toaster for Christmas, I expect it to make toast. If I get a Blu-ray player, I expect it to play Blu-ray discs. If I get a curling iron, I'm going to re-gift it. I don't have any use for it. But when we talk about the gift that started this all, it's effective. We talk about the gift that God gave us, the gift of eternal life, it's effective. It's 100% effective in keeping me out of hell. It's 100% effective in offering me a new life and a better life. It's up to me what I do with it. Millions of people around the world gather every week to celebrate Christmas. Not the holiday. Christmas. Christ's Mass. The service about Christ. The worship of Christ. That's what Christmas is all about. Missionaries and Bible interpreters have laid down their lives in their efforts to bring the good news of Jesus to distant lands in languages they can understand it, even if it costs them their lives. Men and women all through the last 2,000 years have given up riches and comfort, left lucrative professions, chosen the road less traveled and the road the world deems less prestigious in order to serve the Lord. That's how powerful and effective this life in Jesus is. If you judge the greatness of a gift by how much your life has changed as a result, this is the greatest gift ever. Today, the gift that started it all is here in this room. It started out wrapped up in the manger as a little baby. But he grew up and became a Savior that died for our sins. That little baby, I want you to think about it. Little baby in a stable, animals, horses, goats, and stuff all around him. That little baby, if you look, you can see a shadow that lays across him. It's the shadow of a cross. All through his life growing up, it's a shadow of a cross that lays across him. Until one day he's on that cross. Not the gift we wanted. Not the gift we thought we needed. But the gift we did need more than any other gift of all. The thing about it is that none of this does you any good until you apply it. If I give you a Christmas gift and you look at it and say, oh, it looks like a 3-year-old wrapped it. Nope, did that myself. And you put it aside. Whatever I bought you, whatever's in that gift, doesn't do you any good. Again, because if I wrapped it, Lord knows, you're not doing it, you're not keeping it unwrapped. Well, I want to save it just like it is because it's so beautiful. No, not if I wrapped it. And what a waste if I gave you a gift. I spent time. Maybe I made it or I shopped for it. I spent a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of myself in that. And I gave you the gift and you didn't bother to open it. How horrible would that be for me? And for you. Because here you've been given this beautiful gift. I spent time and I know you well and I know what you need. So I gave it to you. And all through the year, I'm watching and you think, man, I wish I had something would do this. And I would say, but that's what I bought you for Christmas. It's in the gift. It's not a porcelain frog. Go open it. Go open it. Go open the gift. You'll have exactly what you need. But instead, you do without. You do things that are hurting. And you're going on and on and on. And I'm watching as you live your life without the benefit of the gift that I gave you. I wonder sometimes if that's not how God looks at us. He watches us go through life and we get depressed and we hurt and our lives are a mess. And we say, oh, I wish there was a way out of this. I wish there was a way to make this better. I wish I would have something here. And God looks down and he says, but it's in the gift I gave you. All you got to do is unwrap it. It's right here. It's available. I've done all the shopping. I did all the work. I paid all the cost. It's right here. Just open it. Just unwrap it and see what I've given you. If you just unwrap God's gift, how amazing your life will be. How passionate about life you can become. How great a life you can live. But it won't do you any good if you don't unwrap it. So I want to ask you a question. Have you opened God's gift yet? Maybe you have. Maybe you've opened God's gift and like a lot of gifts we get, you kind of stuck it off in a corner of the closet and forgot all about it. Because that happens too, doesn't it? I know right now I have like about 10 of those multi-bit screwdrivers because I keep getting them and then losing them and going and buying more. So when you move, you find, hey, I have like 7 of these. Because I bought it and then I forgot where I put it. Wasn't that important to me. Are you doing that with the gift that God gave you? Oh, hey, this is cool, eternal life. Yeah, I'll see you next Easter. I'll see you at Christmas. The The rest of the year, I'll just act like it doesn't exist. That's not why God gave us his gift. So, maybe you're here and you're doing great. You're living for God. Are you sharing his gift with somebody else? Because God didn't give us this gift just to hold on to it, not to, you know, and kind of hoard it. You know, like Gollum in the Lord of the Rings. Oh, my precious, mine, mine. No, he gave it to us so we could share it. And isn't it amazing that this is the one gift that when you share it, you get more back? When you share God's love with somebody, you get more back. You feel what it feels to just that amazing. It's so amazing when you lead somebody to Christ. When you watch somebody that you've talked to accept Christ and their whole life changes. And if you've never understood that, if you've never been part of that, man, I pity you. I really do. Because there is nothing better than that. So where are you this morning? Maybe you need to unwrap God's gift and accept Christ. Maybe you've unwrapped the gift, but you just kind of stuck it off in the corner and forgot all about it. Maybe, just maybe, you need to share that gift more. Wherever you are, God's gift is for you. And you may have walked in here today thinking that you had everything you needed, and you didn't realize there was so much more available. Let's pray. God, thanks. Father, for those who are here this morning that don't know you, God, that they would unwrap the gift of salvation that you've given them, the gift of your Son. How incredible is that, God? Thanks, Father, for your love and your grace. God, you're so good to us. If that's you this morning, just tell God, God, I accept you. I accept your forgiveness. I accept the gift of your Son, and I want to live for him. Maybe you're here and you got to say, well, you know what, Jerry, I accepted Christ, but I've kind of put him in the back burner of my life. If that's you, just take a moment right now and say, okay, God, I got to get serious about this. I've let the gift you give me get tarnished and get covered in dust and it's off to the side. But God, I want to bring it front and center in my life right now. If that's you, just pray that. God, I want to love you more. I want to follow you better. God, I want you to be number one. And then finally, you're here this morning and you just need to share God more. Right now, I want you to think of three or four people that are in your life on a regular basis that you can share Christ with this week. We just did a whole series about sharing your faith. When God opens the door, you're going to be ready to step through it. God, make me like a little guided missile, looking for people that I can seek out and bless with your love. And if that's you, just tell God, God, I want to share you this week. I want to share with somebody else the greatest gift that was ever given. Thanks, God. Thanks, God. Father, I pray for Remnant. For these great people that you've given us, God. Father, you want us to recognize that maybe the gift that we always wanted wasn't a car or a house. It was you all along. The gift that would do the most for us was you, God, all along. Thanks, Father. I pray that you make us aware of your gift this week. I pray you'll make us aware of the love that we have to share with others this week, God. Thanks. Bless us now, Father God. Bless us. Make us your people this Christmas season. Thanks, Father. We ask it in your name. Amen. Now, you've prayed, hope. Whatever you prayed, now go do it. Because if this is just, you know, 30 minutes of listening to me in church, that's not where it's at. It's all about you putting into practice where you were, what you heard this morning. All right? It's not here that does it. It's outside those doors. Love you guys. God bless.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us online at remnantchurchiv.com. You've been